We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other will both get value from the episode.
So I decided to go to a trapeze class today because I needed a little lightness in my life.
Yeah, there's been some heavy stuff going on lately.
Yeah. The title of this episode is So Cancer. And one of the things that has been heavy and really kind of dominating life for the last week and 2 days is my dad was just diagnosed with esophageal cancer, which is rare and hard to treat and, you know, like on a list of cancers you really don't want to get. So a lot has happened in the last week. My parents who live in California have joined us in Minneapolis, and my dad's going to start the process tomorrow at Mayo Clinic for evaluation and treatment. So, you know, our lives have kind of changed somewhat dramatically in the last week. I don't know. Does it feel like that to you or not?
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like things are different, you know, like they're kind of mixed up and that schedules have been shifted around. I think that's the most notable thing. I think at this point, it's kind of nice. Like your parents are here. We always enjoy having them here and they're hanging out with the boys. So the kids are excited, you know, so that part feels good. It's more of I think it's the long-term thought of what is this going to look like? And I guess the short-term impact is, yeah, the schedule this week feels up in the air, mostly for you, although, you know, it does impact the whole family when either one of us is not, you know, kind of not able to do the normal things that we do, like picking kids up from school and such.
So we thought we would spend this episode kind of talking about this kind of experience in the life of a founder family. And, you know, we're going to talk about how my dad's diagnosis and his illness has affected us and our businesses and our family life. And by no means is that the only side of the story. It feels a little bit ugly to spend 20 minutes talking about like how this terrible thing has affected us when, of course, he is clearly the one who's most affected, he and my mom. So they have their own stories to tell. If you know them, you can get in touch with them and listen to some of their stories. But, you know, I think this is the reality of life in a family. And, you know, I think entrepreneurs are not immune to it. And if nothing else, a little bit more susceptible to the kind of ups and downs that can go on in life. And I think we're experiencing this sort of family chaos that we didn't, you know, nobody asked for, nobody wanted. And so we're having to adjust and also think about how that affects our respective lives as business people and our life in the family.
Yeah, it does make it, I think having flexible schedules is both a blessing and a curse. I think obviously it's a blessing in that you don't have to be in an office from 9 to 5 and feel like you're trying to take hours off of work to do this. I mean, that would be tough. You'd have to, I'd imagine, it would just be tough to take the hours that you're going to take off even this week, much less, you know, if it winds up being on some type of ongoing basis. But I also think that kind of the hard part about it is our schedules are pretty intertwined, heavily intertwined. And though we do have flexibility, it's like there's, you know, there's an added layer of, I guess it's stress or just uncertainty about what the weeks are going to look like. And I think that part of it for you, I know that you're struggling with, is it's like you're in the middle of projects. You know, you're working on a book and you're going to do public speaking and, you know, at conferences and all that stuff. And it's like, well, you know, how well can you plan that both in the short and the long term right now?
Yeah, I think that's really been something I've been thinking about a lot. After my dad got this diagnosis, I had planned to go to a workshop and do some professional training. And then I canceled that and just decided to go be by myself on a little retreat for a couple of days, kind of knowing that my parents were going to come here and stay with us and that this whole like new journey is beginning. And I'm really grateful that I had that quiet time. Like I just took that little retreat, time in, time to be introspective, time to kind of have some silence. And I thought through a lot of these questions, like how much do I need to put things on hold? What trips or conferences do I need to say no to? Or what how do I just sort of let people know, hey, I'm planning to be there, but there's this other piece of life that's kind of a wild card right now. So, you know, kind of thinking through all of the implications of me needing yet another layer of flexibility and perhaps more time away from the, like, you know, number of projects that I'm working on. And it's interesting because January has been such a big month for me, lots of trips and things in the works and like working very actively on a book and working on the new website. And, you know, I feel like I've got lots of things that are just in the mid-sentence. And now there's this sort of ellipsis because I'm also not quite as focused as I normally am. And I've had trouble focusing to write. I've had trouble sleeping, so I'm a little bit tired. So, you know, there's all of these things that are affecting my ability to be productive and to get things done.
Yeah, big time. And that's where, you know, something like this that is stressful and unknown, it causes that distraction, right? There's this constant low level thought of, it's a little bit of stress, it's a little bit of anxiety, just a thread that runs below everything. So yeah, it's, you know, you're cooking dinner and then you suddenly realize, wow, I feel really stressed. Oh yeah, it's because there's that really negative thing hanging over my head. So even when you forget about it, your body still feels it. And I can tell with your sleep and with just how much you're thinking and talking about your schedule that it's bothering you, you know, and that it's impacting kind of your ability to focus. One thing I was thinking is, it's like, that's okay. Like it's okay to have that. I don't think it's going to feel exactly like this for the next however many months. Like I do think that it will shift and it will come and go. And there'll be times when you're less stressed and times when you're more. And the fact that, you know, we just got this news and it was literally a few days ago and your parents are now here and you're going to be taking them to the Mayo Clinic, which is, you know, like what, a 3-hour round trip. This week's going to be hard. And I guess that's okay is what I was thinking. You know, it's like, it's okay that it's hard. And I guess I wouldn't be too hard on yourself in terms of trying to schedule things and actually get work done this week in the short term. I think long term, we'll both want to figure out how ways to continue doing that. But I don't know that, you know, a couple days away, as much as it feels like you're stepping away just as things are ramping up, I don't think that's necessarily the case.
It's interesting in the sense that, you know, my job is to sort of take care of people. So as this has been happening, I've been letting some of my clients know, like, hey, this is happening and I might be moving appointments around more than normal. I'm just going to give you a heads up that I will not have an appointment with you unless I am on and ready and totally available for you, but I might be having to shift things and seem a little more flaky than normal, or, you know, just, you know, I might not be 100% on schedule all the time. And that feels like the right decision to me in terms of just like being respectful of the fact that I have these, you know, business and caretaking relationships with people and they need an explanation if all of a sudden I'm like moving things last minute and rescheduling things. But it does feel weird to let that part of my life enter into those caretaking relationships.
I think another complexity and something that we in general tend to do pretty well, and I think it's serving us well in this case, is there needs to be this extra layer of communication between you and I, because there are changes to schedules, there are changes to routines, there are changes to, you know, just the living situation, having extra people in the house, and it's even parking, you know, in a place where it snows and it's cold frequently. It's like, who parks where and which car is blocked in and can you park on the street? And if there's a snow emergency, we now have more cars than we can fit in our garage. You know, it's like all these logistics they're coming at us. And so for you and I to be able to discuss schedule and kind of, we looked at the week this week and it's like, all right, where might the ball be dropped and how can we move things around in order to make this more viable, but to get out ahead of it, right? And not wake up in the morning and be like, oh, there's no one to pick up the kids at the end of school today. But we kind of tried to look out at the whole week and figure out what do we need to adjust this week to make that work.
That's, I think, one of the things that's just going to take like some extra effort, because I can't even look out at the whole week this week. Maybe next week I can, but this week I sort of know the schedule for 2 days and then we have to check in again. So usually we do our sort of Sunday schedule, make a plan kind of thing. And right now it's like going to be Sunday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday at noon. Like, as things emerge, we have to both kind of respond. And that's definitely an extra layer of just effort and thought and all those fun things.
Right. And as you said before, I mean, this is what you do. This is what you have to do when you're helping family and when you're dealing with a health issue like this, which is a big deal. So it's not like we're sitting here complaining. It's trying to be deliberate and thoughtful about what is happening and about how we can stay sane throughout it and how we can offer, you know, as much help as we can without kind of breaking our family system and our, you know, dynamic and routines. And I think that's all you can do.
Yeah, I think part of the importance of a conversation like this, just for us right now or for any family who's going through these kinds of challenges, is to kind of name, hey, this is what's going to be hard. These are the extra layers of stress. These are the things that tend to cause dissension or strife in our relationship. These are the kinds of things that tend to stress our kids out. Like, to really kind of have open eyes and not say, like, you know, we're going to fight this, or we're all together in this. And that's great. That's true. But like, having the honest appraisal of like, whoa, here is what that fight is going to look like. And here are all of the pieces that are going to go into making this a challenging time. Because if then once you know where you need to be careful and what you need to plan for, you have all kinds of strategies available to mitigate the negative consequences of this kind of family health crisis.
Right. And so we've talked about kind of what makes this hard and different angles about that and, you know, how it is impacting our lives or how we see that it's going to. Let's dive into a few of the strategies that we, you know, either would recommend or that we're going to be using here over the next several weeks and months.
Yeah, like I said, the first thing that I wanted to do and was grateful to be able to do was to just take a little bit of time alone in quiet and feel, even though we just returned from vacation and I don't feel very like tired, but I just had this sense of like sort of needing to steel myself to get ready for the months to come. So that was one of the first things that I did. And usually when I go on a retreat, as we've talked about before, it's focused on goals. It's focused on, you know, quiet and time away. But on this particular retreat, I spent a lot of time on the phone talking to my best friend from high school, my, you know, best mom friend from Fresno and my brothers. And just, I really wanted to feel connected to these people who over the course of my life have known me, have known my dad, have known my family. And so that was a really nourishing part of that retreat this time, is just getting connected, sort of letting key people know what's going on, and also just shoring up those relationships, making sure that those connections are healthy and strong.
I think another approach we've taken is asking for help. You know, asking friends to come and watch the kids one night last week when we both happened to be out of town at the same time. And sometimes that's hard to do, but we don't do that very often, right? We don't ask friends to help us all that often. And so I think at times like these, I think that's a really good reason to have a strong community.
Yeah, I even like had to, you know, reschedule the kids' music lessons and things like that. And normally, you know, the teachers, they're busy. It's difficult for them to do that. But I basically said, like, here's the situation. Like, I can't get there at 3. I can get there at 6:30, but I can't get there at 3. And when you let people know, like, the honest story of what's going on and why you need some flexibility or a favor, like, people have been really, really helpful and, you know, wanting to help if they can. So speaking of being connected, I've just been aware of also wanting to just have as much schedule flexibility as possible, just to have downtime with you, time to talk about all of the details, and then also downtime with the kids. You know, this is happening to them too. And so I'm aware of needing extra bandwidth to parent them well in the midst of, you know, my dad being very sick and living with us and sort of what they're seeing or hearing and wanting to make sure that I know what they need to know and that they need to be comforted and cared for too.
I think two of the other strategies we've kind of already touched on in passing were to be sure to let people know, right, which you've just talked about, and that most people are quite understanding with something like this. And then that time alone, which you mentioned, kind of going on that retreat and being able to center and prepare mentally for what's coming. And I think not only were you thinking about kind of planning the coming weeks and months, but I think it also was a really good time to get your center underneath you to kind of fill your bucket, so that knowing that the coming months are probably going to be pretty trying.
Yeah. And one of my tried and true strategies that just hasn't let me down yet has been to really create space in life to get out of my head and into my body, or just into different parts of life. So we were talking a little bit at the beginning of the podcast is I went to this trapeze class today because I felt like if I went to my regular yoga class, like I kind of know the shapes and movements and I feel like, oh, it'd be easy to be distracted. So I went to something that was like totally new and different. And like, I really had to pay attention. Otherwise I'll fall in my head. So it was perfect because it was physically challenging and kind of fun and silly and I'm doing something new. So I'm sort of awkward and learning, but it just for that hour and a half, like I just wasn't thinking about all of this. You know, I think that's going to be a thing that I just have to faithfully do for my own sanity is continue to, whether it's exercise or go roller skating or take some different kinds of weird circus classes, but give my brain a break and give my sense of emotional responsibility a break and just let life continue to move on and continue to be fun and let myself continue to grow and try new things. And I feel like to some extent that will translate to the projects I'm working on and what I'm doing in the consulting firm to just continue to be open and move forward and say yes to things and be honest and gracious when I need to reschedule or need to make changes and just hope for understanding and goodness from other people.
And I think that brings us kind of to the last strategy, which is to continue to grow and to move forward and to realize that these kinds of things, they're hard, but that we've developed skills and strategies over the years of having a family and being two working professionals and starting companies and doing hard things that make us pretty well equipped compared to a lot of people, pretty well equipped to deal with these things. And so I think that's, you know, we've been trying to stay, not even stay positive, it's just like stay grounded and stay sane and think about these things in a way that's not adversarial between either of us. And that, you know, allows us to use all the skills that we've gathered over the past decades of kind of being an adult. And you were joking last night, you said, boy, we sure are adulting a lot. And it's like, yeah, right now we are, and we're not too bad at it. So I feel like this is another challenge that we're gonna face and figure out how to continue to move forward.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.